Take your Bibles, please. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're going to continue our study on the Holy Spirit tonight. And I'm excited about this. And keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. Do me a favor. Everybody smile. Good night. Look like y'all been sucking dill pickle juice today or something. All right. Pray for Brother Randy. He's sick today. He's got the flu and the crud and everything else. So then, let me see if I have this in my... I think I put it in here. If I didn't, I didn't. How many of you remember me telling you Sunday about Mrs. Wesco? She's the wife of the missionary who was killed by the terrorists in Cameroon. And last Sunday we found out that she had four or five spots on her liver that were cancerous. They did PET scan this week. They did a couple other tests. And I got word this morning that everything is shrinking and their tumors are benign and she's going to be fine. So God is good. Amen. Well, that's exciting. Welcome to the power of prayer is all I can tell you, because that prognosis was not good, just so you know. John chapter 16, let's read verses 6 through 8. You follow along silently, and then we're going to turn to another chapter here in the book of John. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, notice capital C, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now skip down to verse, let's jump over to John chapter 14. Just go back a couple pages, John chapter 14, and we're going to read in verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, capital C, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Skip down to verse number 26. But the Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, look at me, if you will. I plan to teach quickly tonight, but I plan to teach thoroughly. Tonight, we're going to talk about Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit as the Comforter. One of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is to be our Comforter. Now, that word comforter doesn't mean what you think it means, though. It doesn't mean someone who talks soft, sweet words, and soothes you into tranquility. Grandma used to have a comforter on the bed. You all know what I'm talking about? Yes. That meant when it was cold, it made you comfortable. The Holy Spirit's not there to make you comfortable. He's there to be your Comforter. Comforter does not mean one who sits and holds your hand and pats you on the head. Comforter is not chocolate or food to make you feel warm and fuzzy. The word comforter is a word in the Greek here. It is the word parakletos. It doesn't mean a pair of cleats that you would use for baseball, but nor is it a bird that is annoying. It's the word parakletos, which means one who runs to your side to pick you up. It is literally the word one who runs to your side to pick you up. It's used as another word, and we'll use that word also. It's the word advocate. The word comforter and the word advocate are virtually the same word. Now, this is why... By the way, it is virtually the same word. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 2, or 1 John chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2, Again, we're going to use our Bibles all the way back by the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, 1st John chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. 1st John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what?
Advocate
with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, everybody look at me. Who is our advocate?
Jesus Christ
is. In other words, Jesus is not just our legal advocate, he's also our comforter. But watch this. Notice he said back in John chapter 16, John chapter 14, I'm leaving and I'm sending you another comforter.
Yes, sir.
He said, I have to leave. And he can't come and he can't do his work unless I leave. So I will send him. Not only do you know who he is, but he will dwell in you.
Amen.
We find in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So the comforter here on earth is the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus left to go back to heaven, he told us that the Holy Spirit would be our comforter. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. We talked about it right there. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth is expedient for... He said, I will send him unto you. Wow. John chapter 14, verse number 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever. Now, listen to this very carefully. Jesus is still our advocate. Jesus did not cease being an advocate. He said, I will give you another advocate. I will give you another comforter. He didn't say I'm not going to exchange one for the other. He said, we're going to add another one to this. He said, I'll go and be your advocate in heaven, and the Holy Spirit will come and be your advocate here on earth. I will do the work in heaven as he does the work here on earth. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who cares for it here on earth. In other words, Jesus did not stop being our advocate. He just added the Holy Spirit to it to help us here on earth. Now, in other words, we use this term too loosely, so I'm going to add to it so you understand. How many of you know what a will is? You know, you make that so when you die, things get taken care of the way you wanted. All right. We would call it last will and testament. We have an Old Testament. And we have a New Testament. In other words, it is like this. It's like God made a new will and testament. Jesus is present in heaven for the reading of it, and the Holy Spirit's here passing out copies of it, making sure everybody gets it and follows it while we're here on earth. That is exactly what that term advocate or comforter means in the scripture. It's the best illustration I can give you. Now, I want to give you about four things tonight to take a look at Jesus and the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps comforters to have comfort. The Bible doesn't say necessarily... The Bible doesn't say that necessarily just because Miss Kim needs comfort... that the Holy Spirit's going to comfort her, but the Holy Spirit will give those who are going to comfort her the ability to comfort her. So the Holy Spirit is there not just to bring comfort to you, but to those to whom will give comfort. Does that make sense to everybody? Look at John chapter 14, verse number 18 again. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. John chapter 16, verse number 7. He said, I will send him unto you. Then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Acts, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 4. This is a verse that many should memorize, but I want to help you with it. Watch this. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all what?
Comfort.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, we get comfort from the Holy Spirit when we need it, but we are also to use that comfort to help others when they need it. So the Holy Spirit will bring you comfort. As you find comfort, you're to take that, and when somebody else has a problem, you help them and comfort them. You be there to pick them up. You run to their aid and lift them up. You don't kick them when they're down. You don't, bless God, you should have known better than that, Pharisee. That's one reason why I don't believe anybody ought to, no preacher ought to get anybody up in front of the church and tell them the sin that they did. Amen. That's wicked as hell. Amen. That's not the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? You'll be glad when it's your kids. Trust me. In other words, the Holy Spirit's there not just to comfort you, but to teach you how to comfort other people. There are times I can help people with their hurt. I got a call last week of somebody that needed my help. And I told you this last weekend of a 19-year-old girl that tried to commit suicide. I went to the third floor of the hospital and went into the psych ward, and I won her to Christ.
Amen.
I was able to help her. I knew what she needed. She needed Jesus in a hurry.
Yes, sir.
There's times when people are in the hospital and sick, and I try to go help them. Amen, Jeannie. And Kathy. And just about everybody in here, I've seen you in the hospital in one shape, form, or another. Amen, Brother Fred. Even when he was almost dead. When you're sick, when you're hurt, when you're hurting, when you're grieving, I can try to help people. But there are times that I cannot help. And the Holy Spirit has to do it through me. Brother Barnes and I made a visit several weeks ago. Miss Joyce's mom was close to heaven. And I told Brother Barnes, this is one of those visits. It doesn't matter what I do, it ain't going to help. Because all I can say is, thank God for heaven. I love you. And we're going to get through this. But I can't fix anything. I can't reverse anything. Y'all understand that? When somebody's dying, there's no magic. None. This week has been a week. Of course, dealt with something on Saturday with the young lady that tried to commit suicide. Got word yesterday of a 16-year-old that committed suicide. Doubt she's even saved. And they want me to help with the funeral and help the family and go forward. That's not easy. There's not words that are going to bring a whole lot of comfort right there. I'm sorry. Miss Loretta called me Monday morning. The man that I won to Christ 3.5 weeks ago, Brother Barnes and I were out there at Trent's house. And I said then, I bet you he doesn't have but 6 weeks to live. He's in hospice now. I walked into his room Monday afternoon, and he's not doing well. And he heard my voice. He was sitting up on the edge of the bed, and he can take about a mouthful of whatever, but he throws it back up just that quick. All of his hair shaved off and just a mess. He said, "Is that the preacher?" Turned around and looked at me. I said, "Trent, how you doing?" "Well, I'm all right." I said, "No, you're not." He said, "Yeah, I am." He's got his brother and sister-in-law sitting there and his bunch of other family sitting there. And they're like, he could tell, "What's he doing?" Asking him how he's doing. I said, "What do you say you're doing all right for?" He said, Because when I leave this room, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And one of the family members said, he hadn't quit. He hadn't shut up since you left the house talking to him about getting saved. I said, good. I said, so Trent, if you take your last breath here, what's going to happen? He said, I get rid of this body and get a new one, and I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And can I tell you something? That was comfort.
Yes, sir.
That was comfort. I couldn't bring it, but he was comforting himself. I went back today. And boy, what a decline over a 24-hour period, let me tell you. Kidneys have already started to quit, and liver starting to shut down. He's starting to turn jaundice color and getting... I walked over and looked at him. I said, Loretta, I said, he's turning color already, because he was sleeping at the moment. She said, he is. I walked over. She said, oh, my. I said, you better find out if he's passed anything through his bladder, because I don't think he has. And he said he had done very little in the last 24 hours. I said, it's not going to be long. I said, you're looking at about 4 or 5 days. At most. He finally woke up, sat up. He said, I thought I heard your voice. I said, yeah, it was a bad nightmare, I know. Kind of chuckled a little bit. Not doing well. Can tell you something? I can't help him. Because all I can do is be there with him. But I can tell you this, thank God for heaven. There are times I can't do anything but be there. Say, preacher, what do you say in times like that? Oh, God, help me. I don't know. Every situation's different. Some need to laugh. Some need to cry. Some need smacked upside the head. No. some just, you don't know what you need in what situation. But you kind of let the Holy Spirit lead you through it. And, you know, before I left yesterday afternoon, everybody was carrying on, having a good time. I found out later one of the family members hadn't been in church in a long time. Doesn't like preachers, just like he didn't like preachers. I found out, he said, that preacher's different. When's that church opening? I said, Lord's using it. Say why? Comfort. God will use comfort. I had to laugh. I was checking out of the hospice there. You got to sign in, sign out. Little elderly lady knitting or crocheting at the front there, making sure everybody signs the book. She said, isn't it, you going to go out and enjoy the pretty day? I said, I am. I said, I'm just praying that it stays dry. She said, why is that? I said, because I got to get construction done on the church. She said, which church? I said, the one down the street here. She said, the big one? I said, yes. I walked out and started laughing, and I thought of my secretary. She must be a Methodist to think that's a big one. I couldn't help it. I did. And I told her that this morning, just so you know. I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit comforts me by giving me strength, giving me encouragement to keep me going so that I can help others and encourage them. You see, the purpose of your comfort isn't so that you feel better. It's so you learn how to feel better to help somebody else feel better.
That's good, preacher.
2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The purpose of comfort is not to be selfish. It's to learn it so you can help other people. Everybody got that? If he, the Holy Spirit, it is he, the Holy Spirit, who keeps me going so I can help keep everybody else going. Preacher, don't you ever get down? Nope, not for long. Don't you ever get discouraged? Not for long. There's always somebody else to help. There's always the phone ringing to help somebody else. There's always another problem, always another heartache, always another burden, always somebody else that needs something. I get to go to God and say, God, please help me. God helps me, gets me strong enough to help them. I get stronger by doing it. And boy, is that fun. So, number one, the Holy Spirit helps comforters to have comfort. Number two, the Holy Spirit can teach us what to say to comfort others. Look at John chapter 14 again, and I'm going to I'm going to hit this very quickly. I don't have much time to... I could preach a whole sermon on this, and someday I will, right here on this one point. Look at verse 26, John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Two things. Teach you all things, bring all things to remembrance. Now look at me. Most people don't know how to comfort. Ladies, if you've ever lost a baby, you find out people can be stupid. They can say the harshest things, and they don't mean to. They just don't know any better. We've had ladies in our church from time to time that would lose a baby, and I would get up, and I would say, this has happened. Now don't keep asking, how are you? That's the worst thing in the world. How do you think she is? Worst thing to ask somebody if they lose a loved one, how you doing? You say, well, what do I say? We're praying for you. Do you need anything? Do you need something? We're praying for you. You don't have to say, how are you? Because every time you do that, all those pains come back. Yes. All the memory rushes back. How about you say, do you need anything? Can I help you? That's all you have to say. If you go through the book of Job, Job's three friends, finally after they beat on him for a while, he looks at him and says, miserable comforters are y'all. Pretty well said. And I have to teach people who are going through those problems. Now, people are going to say things. They don't mean to be cruel, but they're going to be cruel. Don't listen to what they say. Just accept the fact that they said something. Forget what they say. Just smile and say, thank you. And forget what they say. Don't think about it. Just accept it. I've given that advice to people sitting in this room right now. And that's how you got through it. Because people don't know how to comfort. Can I tell you why? Because they're trying to do it in their spirit. They try to comfort you their way, not with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you know what you think is comfort may not be what comfort is from the Holy Spirit? What my wife thinks is comfortable, I don't necessarily think is comfortable. There's times Brother Joe might think is comfortable that Sam wouldn't think is comfortable. Brother Harry, my 243 is comfortable. My 30-06 is comfortable. Now, I know some people don't like either one of those. You might like 270 or 308. Now, wait a minute. What's comfortable to one's not comfortable to the other. You take a 9mm. Why are there so many different makes and models of a 9mm? Because it fits everybody's hand a little different. And you got to find that which is comfortable to shoot. Makes sense? Ladies, you find that just because chocolate comforts you doesn't mean it comforts this lady. And just because this food comforts you doesn't mean it comforts this person. Good night. Chicken livers, that's comfort food there, man. Give it to me. I'll take it any day. I can sit down and slurp them down, man. Here we go. Now, I'll take it any day. But wait a minute. That's not comfort food to everybody.
No, sir.
Hey, give me liver and onions. I'll take it. Doesn't bother me.
Why?
Now, can I tell you something? Just because it comforts you doesn't mean it comforts everybody the same way. Quit trying to make everybody feel comfortable the way you feel comfortable. How about we worry about them feeling comfortable the way they want to be comforted? And allow the Holy Spirit to teach you what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. By the way, when you start doing that, He'll bring all things to your remembrance. You'll go through a problem with somebody, you'll say, I remember back when I went through something similar. You haven't thought about it in years. What is that? The Holy Spirit bringing it to you. He is bringing that to memory. He said, I'll teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. Do you know how many tens of thousands of people my wife and I have helped through the years? Do you think I remember every one of them? But I can remember certain parts of just about everything at the right time when the Holy Spirit wants to bring it. Sometimes it's not. We've walked out of situations and I said, man, I haven't thought about that one in years. What was that? The Holy Spirit. He'll teach you what to say. See, what do I got to do? You got to show up and be there. And you got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and in tune with Him so that He can speak through you. And you have to be able to have been able to help somebody. Don't just think you're going to show up and shazam, I got all the words. You're going to feel like I do. Oh, Lord, now what am I going to say? I have to meet with a family tomorrow whose 16-year-old daughter committed suicide, not sure she's even in heaven. You think I know what to say? Yeah. I'll look at this one and say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? And if they're not saved, they're going to get saved. If they're saved, we're going to talk about heaven for a while. The fact that we're going to do everything we can to keep somebody else from going through this. But I'll try to find out if the daughter was saved, but past that, there's not much I can do. I can focus on the eternal, not the temporary. That's about all I can do. Number three, and I've got to hurry. In a way, now, don't hang me when I make the rest of the statement. Listen to what I teach. In a way, Jesus had to leave earth to get more done for God. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 14, verse number 12. You'll see what I'm saying in just a moment. John chapter 14, verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and the works that I do, shall he do also, watch this, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father.
Amen.
In other words, Jesus was the Holy Spirit-filled man on earth, but he was about the only one. He had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could be sent and indwell every believer. In other words, what he did, we can multiply by force. Jesus was only one man. There was only so much he could do. But the Holy Spirit now indwells every believer.
Yes, sir.
By the way, that's what Pentecost was all about. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, just a few pages over from where you're at right now, about 8 or 10 pages, maybe 12. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 4. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And they were all filled with the what?
Holy Ghost.
And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, they were filled, and then they were able to reach the multitudes. Now, this wasn't speaking in jibber jabber. This wasn't some emotional jump up and down, roll on the floor and flip and flop like a fish out of water. This was them speaking, people hearing in their own language. I've gone through that before. You notice in Acts chapter 2, it talks about people of every nation under heaven there, of every tongue. And the Bible says every man heard in his own tongue. I believe God gave them the ability to speak foreign languages, but I also believe God touched the ears of the hearers to hear the apostles preaching and hear it in their own language. Say, what was the Holy Spirit for? The Holy Spirit was there. That's when he came and indwelt every believer. They were filled with it. What happens when somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit? People get saved. It's not an emotional experience. It's not a song that makes your leg go up and down. You don't start tapping your leg. You don't start dancing a jig. No, the Holy Spirit's there so that people can get comfort and get saved. What is more comforting than knowing for sure you're going to heaven? What's more comforting than to know that you don't have to die and go to hell?
That's good.
In other words, Jesus Just as we will get more done here someday we'll hire an assistant, maybe two assistants, maybe three, as we grow and grow. Why? There's only so much one man can do. We'll hire a couple secretaries, because there's only so much Mrs. Barnes can put up with. Yeah, she got Brother Barnes. What? I didn't say it, he did. I was thinking me. Can I tell you something? Just as the work grows, you multiply by dividing. We'll pull off a chunk and let somebody take it and lead it. Now, that doesn't mean I let go of it, but it means I let somebody else help me with it. They keep checking in with me, and I keep working with it so that everything runs together the same way, but we'll get more done with more helpers. You'll find out as our church grows, we'll split Sunday school classes. You'll go from a big class to a smaller class, build it back up, we'll split it again. You say, why? Because the more we multiply and divide it, the more we can multiply. You break it into smaller groups, put more people in, and you grow it more. Say why? Because you have more people in the workforce getting it done.
That works.
Jesus had to go back to heaven for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell every believer, and he said, greater works than these shall ye also do. Why? Because there was more than one person filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, to get the work of God done, Jesus literally had to leave earth to go back to heaven to give us the Holy Spirit so more work could get done. Boy, that's simple. Number four, and I'm done. There is nothing more comforting than people being saved. Nothing. You know, walking into that hospice room yesterday, and anybody that knows what that place is all about, I hate using this term, but it's the last stop. 99 times out of 100. Fred's the one. That's called, yeah, twice, I know. Not once, but twice. He's the only one that did that. Now, wait a minute. Most of the time, that's the last move. Or they move you from there to home and die in a day or two. But that's it. Can I tell you something? You walk into that place, it's kind of quiet and somber. By the time I left the room, everybody was rejoicing. Say why? Because the Holy Spirit came, worked through us. I was able to assure everybody, bent down beside Trent, beside the bed, and said, hey, buddy, put my hand on his shoulder. I said, so where are you going when you die? He said, heaven, don't you remember? You could hear him say it. I said, I remember. I just want to make sure you have. And everybody was like, he's so lucid. He's not been that way with anybody else. I talked about heaven for a while. He said, can you tell me a little more? So we talked about heaven a little while longer. Not everybody in the room wanted to hear about it. Had one leave. That's all right. Say why? They couldn't handle it. They think he's coming home. I said, yep, he's coming home, but not to the home you think. He's going home, home. Now, wait a minute. What's more comforting? When they heard him talk like that, he'll pass. But they have the peace of knowing he's going to heaven. 3.5 weeks ago, they didn't think he was going anywhere but hell. And he's a pretty rough dude. My brother's sitting across from him on the couch, just tears running down his face. Couldn't believe his brother talking that way. Big old strapping guy. When I left, he stood up and got a paw about that big, you know? One of those hands that when he grabs your hand, it just swallows it up. You men know what I'm talking about. It's like, ooh, like a grizzly bear. I reached out and he said, Pastor, my family couldn't thank you enough for what you've done for my brother. I said, I didn't do anything. Jesus did it for him. I just got to deliver the message. He said, nobody else got the message through to him but you. I said, my joy, my honor. Can I tell you something? That family has comfort right now. The Holy Spirit is to bring comfort so we can see more people get saved. Why do you think at a funeral I'll preach the gospel? I don't know anything more comforting than when somebody's lying there dead, you preach to their family and friends and see a whole bunch of them get saved. That's about as comforting as you can get. You don't know how many funerals I've preached for people I never even met before and seen a whole bunch of people get saved. Preached one for my neighbor. I saw him in the yard twice. Never even stopped to talk to him. Just as I drove by and whipped my truck around. Preached his funeral and 15, 16 people got saved. And the hardcore, hard-nosed Catholics that live across the street from Marcia. Ran across the street just last week and said, when's the opening service, Pastor? My wife and I are coming. Made that sign that's in my office. It'll go in the new building. Why? Because we brought comfort at a funeral. It wasn't ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and the rest of that mess. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit brings comfort so that we can be strong enough to help others and get the gospel out to see more people get saved. He's there to comfort us to keep us strong enough so that we keep going and keep doing it. I get tired. I get weary. But I say, Lord, people to help. When the phone rings at 2 a.m, it's okay. What you need? I say, what is that, Holy Spirit? Giving me strength to help. Up all night with people, watching them die. Strong. Yep. I might crash a day or two later, but that's okay. Crash on my own time. Here we go. Holy Spirit, keep me going. I've gone day after day after day after day after day after day, year after year after year like that. Say, what is that? He comforts me so I can be strong enough to help everybody else. That's what the comfort of the Holy Spirit is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? I may say, preacher, I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I would not embarrass you. Won't call your name. Won't come to you. You say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. But someday I'd like to know for sure I could. Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I may say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my. Hands everywhere. Thank you. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand, said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure you'll be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you could know. Just take 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe you just need to use your chair or come forward and use this altar because the Lord touched your heart tonight.